for America.
The federal agents informed the crowd that if they kept advancing, they would open fire on the crowd.
It was scary to think that shots could be fired. It definitely was scary. Everyone was thinking, could this be another Ruby Ridge? Could this be another Waco?
Fighting for Idaho.
We're starting to realize that we have a government with unlimited power.
The BLM come to decimate us and to reduce us to absolute despotism.
Fighting for you.
More than Kevin, I just wanted to take an opportunity to thank you for real journalism.
Kevin, I just wanted to thank you for going to Nevada and getting the truth to us.
Voices Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
You're the only talk show that I really listen to.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. Win cash right now. Call 877-854-WINS. That's 877-854-9467. The 25th nationwide caller wins $1,000 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, since our timers aren't up to sync, we will go now. Kevin Miller in the morning. Good luck to everybody. Phone number is 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. We're very excited to have our friend Chris Farrell on from Judicial Watch. Of course, these are the folks that continue to do such great work, such nonpartisan work when we're talking about finding out the truth. And isn't that what we want to find out about when we're talking about Benghazi? Certainly, people are going to try and politicize this. People are going to sit there and try and belittle it and say it's Republican Party talking points. But this is an issue when we're talking about leaving Americans behind that we deserve the truth about, right?
I just wanted to...
Do you want
to
ask me again?
Yeah. Actually, I just want to direct...
You're going to definitely get it out of me, that's for sure.
Yes. Yes or no answer. Is the White House going to cooperate with this investigation? Yes or no? I've heard a lot of words.
First of all, I haven't seen an investigation. I've seen a lot of rhetoric. I've seen talk. I've seen some of the usual partisan... assertions and heard them. What I will say is that we have a long history of cooperating with legitimate oversight from Congress, and that cooperation will continue. What I am not going to speculate about is what you know, what the Republicans are up to. It's pretty blatantly apparent based on what they've said and what even other Republicans have said, that this is a highly partisan exercise. But I'm not going to go further than that.
Joining us now from Judicial Watch, our great friend Chris Farrell. Chris, good morning.
Great to be on with you. How are you today?
You know, I'm in awe of what you guys have accomplished.
Thank you very much.
So take us to this. I go back to the release. The government couldn't do it. The media didn't want to do it, but you did it. Tell us about the discovery concerning the Benghazi emails, the Ben Rhodes email, where in fact it was determined that the talking points would be changed.
Yeah, I mean, to be very frank, what this really boils down to is just tenacity. We don't give up and we don't stop. So there's a lot to be said for A, showing up, and B, not quitting, right? So if you do those two things, a lot of good things happen, and that's the case here. We had filed this FOIA request. They had blown us off. We sued them. We got a court to set a production schedule. They started producing records to us. And then it's really a matter of fine-tooth comb, analysis and examination. And once we got this latest batch of documents, it became very clear to us that although they were trying desperately, frantically, to hide information, that with the proper analysis and comparing and contrasting, it was clear that Rhodes, based upon his email, was orchestrating a cover-up that reached all the way into the White House.
Chris Farrell joining us from Judicial Watch. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Chris, can you give us some background for folks listening at 580 KIDO that may not be following it as much as they should? This is a blockbuster, monumental move that should have political, social, and possible criminal ramifications. If you could, give us some background of what these emails mean, why the discovery was so important.
Sure. The White House, we now have documentation from their emails, right? Their State Department's communications with the White House discussing the attack in Benghazi. They knew very, very clearly within minutes of the attack occurring that it was not some phony protest. It had nothing to do with any video, but that it was an organized, armed, well-planned terror attack on the compound of Benghazi. They knew within minutes of the attack that they had both people killed in action and also missing, that the ambassador they couldn't find because they tried to go in and rescue him, and then the terrorists had gotten a hold of him and taken him away. That all these facts were known to them very, very early on, and that there's an orchestrated campaign. It appears run by Ben Rhodes out of the National Security Council to fabricate a phony storyline, one that didn't even match the storyline the CIA was ginning up, what Mike Morrell, the acting director of the CIA, was constructing and fabricating for Congress. And Rhodes, who's the National Security Council strategic communications guy, and also, surprise, surprise, brother of the president of CBS News, was busy in the White House coming up with their talking points or with their storyline. And in this case, there's an email that specifically says to shift the focus away from the actual terror attack because they didn't want it to be seen as a policy failure, as their failure pinned on them, that they wanted to create this phony narrative about a video. So that's what this is all about, and this is their documentation, their records, their email. You can see all the addressees and all the CCs and the timing and the sequence of the events, and it's all documented in black and white.
And we all have that thanks to our friends at Judicial Watch. When your folks and you, Chris, got the information, and again, I couldn't believe when I saw that. First, I mean, a couple weeks ago, you have the disclosure that Lois Lerner is working with the Eric Holder crime-fighting attorney general's office to criminalize political speech and thought and activity. And now this, you have folks saying on one hand, this is the smoking gun. On the other, you have Carney and the crew saying we're politicizing this. We also have this comment, and you being a stand-up, straight-shooting kind of guy, had this from Fox News. We'll get your reaction momentarily.
According to the emails and the timeline, sure. The CIA circulates new talking points after they've removed a mention of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
And then at 6:21, the White House, you,
me,
add a line about the administration warning of September 10th of social media reports calling for demonstrations. True?
I believe so.
Did you also change attacks to demonstrations in the talking points?
Maybe. I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Dude, this was like 2 years ago. We're still talking about the most mundane process.
Dude, it is the thing that everybody is talking about.
We're talking about the process of editing talking points. That's what bureaucrats do all day long.
The key part is...
Your producers edit scripts multiple times.
The key part is attacks to demonstrations.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
No. What is the question? Did I edit attacks?
In the CIA talking points, it was edited from attacks to demonstrations.
No, Michael Morrell has testified about what he changed and what was changed in those emails and the whole process of that.
But the talking points went through the public affairs people.
Yeah,
which is kind of unique.
These are the most well understood and discussed talking points in the history of talking points.
Your reaction, Chris Farrell?
Well, I mean, whoever made the decision to put that person on television is a moron. Talk about unqualified, unprepared. With this arrogant, snide, glib delivery, you can see the contempt, literally you can see the contempt that person has for the American public. And the off-the-cuff manner, it is so offensive. It is so arrogant. It's disgraceful. And I think it's a great representation of the Obama administration's position and feeling concerning the American public. That is Exhibit A of the administration's position, their outlook on the average American citizen.
Well, and this is troubling when you think about this is a lower-level guy, so you wonder what the focus is at the upper levels where Hillary Clinton's saying, what difference does it make?
Correct. I mean, they simply don't give a damn. And, and they believe that any questioning of them, first of all, is beneath them. How dare you? And then even if they are questioned, well, it really doesn't matter because we're doing whatever the hell we damn well please anyway. It is so arrogant. It is so over the top. And so disconnected from any real accountability or any sense of public service, or even any respect for the four Americans who are dead. I mean, this is nothing more than a bad publicity nuisance for them. They have no appreciation for the moral and human consequences of what they're doing. None.
Chris Farrell joining us from Judicial Watch. We'll have more clips for you to sound off on. Actually, this is from this week. And again, if it hadn't been for Judicial Watch, judicialwatch.org, we would have never known about this email from Rhodes. Let's take a listen to David Plouffe.
There's a very loud, delusional minority that's driving our politics, that's in control of the Republican Party. There's no conspiracy here at all.
I love how he labels people that want to know what happened to the four dead Americans delusional.
Yeah, I mean, again, how dare you question us? How dare you catch us in a lie is what it really is. Because, if you're telling the truth, you don't need two sets of talking points, do you?
How, get this, you're saying tenacity, but where were the true believers in Congress? Where were... where was Daryl Issa? Where were all these other folks that are now piggybacking on what you found out?
Well, there's a few things going on here. First of all, when Congress asks questions of a department or an agency and they have these hearings, it's political theater. It's not really a legal process. It's kabuki. It's a kabuki theater. It's a political pushing and shoving match. When we ask for documents, we do so under the law, right? There's a legal... a framework for our legal, for our request for records under the Freedom of Information Act law. And then when they fail to comply with it, we go to court and we get a federal judge to compel the agency to comply. That's wildly different than the Congress sending notes back and forth to some government agency. No self-respecting attorney in the Department of Justice or in the general counsel's office of some of these different departments and agencies is going to commit perjury in front of a judge. They're not going to lie about it. They will tell Congress to drop dead, and they do so with relative impunity. Look at the attorney general who's been held in contempt. What has that meant? Nothing. So our legal process is frankly stronger than the political process exercised by Congress. Part B of that answer is, first of all, there's no leadership. Boehner's a joke. He's been compelled and pushed and shoved into creating this select committee months and months and months down the road when it should have been done right away. And then other folks like Issa, who do good work, unfortunately only have the attention span of a six-year-old. They get their soundbite, they get their one hearing where everyone's held to a five-minute rule, and then they're chasing after the next bright, shiny object. They have no staying power. They have no long-term concentration and ability to follow through.
We go to the phones. We go to Mark at 580 KIDO with our great friend Christopher Farrell.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Chris, this is something that I've been wondering why the media has not covered more, and they seem to be covering up, and I have to say it, even Fox. October 10th, Rayburn Building. Congressional hearings, Dennis Kucinich. You can find this on a liberal website on the YouTube video, salon.com. He was asking in front of the panel of Eric Nordstrom, former senior regional security advisor, Ambassador Kennedy, Charlene Lamb, senior state official from the State Department, and Lieutenant Colonel Andrew Wood, former commander of the special security team. He asked the question, how many shoulder-launched surface-to-air missiles were sent over there to Libya under the Obama administration prior to the rioting over there? Nobody answered the question. Finally, it took Eric Nordstrom, after the third attempt by Dennis Kucinich to ask this question, he came up with, sir, between 10 to 20,000. That's what they were over there to try to get. The Obama administration has allowed these to go through the Al-Qaeda pipeline, and they're going to be used for a future event. And I wonder why this is not coming out in any of the media.
You've really hit the nail on the head. That's what all of this is about. When you ask yourself, why was Ambassador Stevens in Benghazi? Well, he was there to meet with the Turkish ambassador. Well, why? Well, because there were shipments of weapons from Libya on Libyan freighter to Turkey's southernmost seaport, where arms were then transshipped over to Syria to support the what I think are very dangerous, very nebulous collection of so-called rebels fighting against Assad, some of whom may be good guys, but a lot of them are probably crazies, or probably al-Qaeda militant lunatics, and very dangerous lunatics at that. So that is the backstory to Benghazi, and it goes to the motive in all of this, and you, sir, have hit the nail on the head.
That was a motive, sir.
$40 million program by the State Department to gather up man pads, which essentially are shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles like Stingers, okay? And that is what's behind all of this, is this gun-running operation. And so if you think about it, long back up to the 100,000-foot level and look down on this all, the thing that the Obama administration was terrified of 6 weeks before the election was a headline that would read, Obama administration arms al-Qaeda. That is what they were absolutely terrified of, and frankly, they still are afraid of. And so that gives the relevance and significance to this entire thing.
Had this been a Republican administration, you know darn well you had had the far-left media out there, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, calling for impeachment of a Republican president if this had happened under the Republicans. And I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a constitutionalist. But we have the most deceitful, traitorous scum that are running the White House and are destroying our country from the inside out. Great saying by one of our famous founding fathers, the greatest enemy and threat to this country would come from within. They're right here in our front door. Thank you.
All right, Mark, thank you very much. Chris, please hang on. More coming up as we talk more about Judicial Watch and their great work and the Benghazi email fallout. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, Chris Farrell joining us from Judicial Watch. So what do you expect to happen now that you've caught the administration red-handed?
Well, a few things. Of course, they're going to squeal and they're going to start lashing out and doing all they can to deflect attention and generate a lot of double talk and attempt to minimalize or marginalize these very hard and fast findings. The beauty of this is that this is not one person saying, oh, I saw this or heard this. This is all documentation. This is all paperwork, email trails and trains connected together. They can't get away from it. It's a very sticky story in that regard. Congress is going to do what they're going to do. Trey Gowdy looks like is going to be the chair of the select committee. Whether the Democrats decide to participate or not, I think, is irrelevant because a smart spokesperson or media person for this committee should be able to spin it either way, right? If they don't participate, then they're obstructionists and they're afraid of the truth. If they do participate, great. Let them mix it up and get in the middle of the committee. So I don't see it hurting or helping either way as far as the Democrats' participation in that. I think Gowdy's probably a good guy to lead this up. I think he's probably has a strong prosecutorial sense and drive, good line of questioning. I'm always reluctant or hesitant to put too much faith in congressional committees, but given the current circumstances, this is certainly, I think, a step forward to getting some real answers.
Hey, here's something on an unrelated topic, because we could go on and on about Congress and the marginalization and the politicization of this, but as a person that loves the military, as a former service member, as a veteran, Chris, what do you make of our new friends, the Iranians, now have threatened to sink U.S. carriers? I'm glad we got rid of the sanctions there.
Yeah, I mean, this is just insult to injury. And we're drawing down the military. There is, from a very close friend of mine, practically a brother, who is currently in the Pentagon, a colonel. There's an active purge underway to eliminate all the battle-hardened leadership. There's a litmus test for general officers, for all flag officers of any of the services, that they've got to promote the Obama social engineering agenda with respect to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which, of course, is now gone. But all the issues concerning homosexuality, concerning women in combat, all these novel new applications of social theory that have been applied to the military in the last few years, you know, there's a very aggressive politicizing of the flag officer corps. And if you're not going to if you subscribe to the last 230 years of American military history, tradition, and accomplishment, you're out. It's just that clear.
Chris Farrell, what's next for Judicial Watch?
It is never ending, my friend. Yeah. I got to figure out something to go after in Idaho. I want to come out there and visit you guys. So send me some tips on some corruption out there. I need to come out and visit. We have more on our plate than you can imagine, and we keep digging in. You know, we try to look over the horizon. We try to look at stuff that's coming up. We don't like to chase headlines. We like to make them, and we've just got a ton of work in front of us. At the same time, we can't let up on the stuff that is bubbling along. Right? We can never let go of Benghazi, but I can tell you we can look at Mexican military incursions along our southern border. I mean, there's a topic that doesn't get much attention or press. But there are armed incursions by Mexican military forces and sometimes police forces into the United States for a variety of reasons. And that poses a very grave threat. We cannot ignore that. And we've been successful at doing that. And that's just part of the stealth amnesty that the Obama administration has granted. I was going to say going to, but they have. They've implemented a stealth amnesty. They've simply stopped enforcing our immigration law altogether. It's a free-for-all. If you can't maintain your own borders and know who's coming in and out of the country, the risk to our country is great. And all it takes is a dirty bomb in, you know, San Diego or El Paso or Tucson, and we'll be waving our fingers and, oh, how did this possibly happen? Who did this to us? You know, it's a real threat. It's very, very serious.
Well, we'd love to have you back, and we do urge people to Google Judicial Watch, judicialwatch.org. You guys have been doing great work for years, and this is outstanding. Don't believe the press narrative. This is a big issue that needs to get more sunlight. So thank you, Chris.
Great to be on with you. Thank you very much.
All right, take care. That is our friend Chris Farrell. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Most mornings, you do a great job.
A big thank you for all you do. You go above and beyond, Kevin. You make a real positive difference in the community.
You are probably one of the best talk show hosts that I've listened to on the entire West Coast.
Are your ears burning yet? They should be. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And, you know, Ray and I've been negligent. Don't know if you would mind if we gave away a pair of tickets to the Steelheads. All right, why don't we do that with caller 10 at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Catch exciting Steelheads action when you're caller 10 right now. And we do appreciate the opportunity to give you something for listening to us. So, again, caller 10 at 580-KIDO. You're going to win a pair of tickets to see the Steelheads tomorrow night. We go to Jan Flynn joining us now from the American Lung Association. Jan, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
You know, we hear so much about air quality when we're watching the weather and the meteorologists and what we should and shouldn't be concerned about. What's the latest on air quality in our region?
Well, the Lung Association just released last week its State of the Air Report. This is an annual report card that we give to states and particularly counties and states on how they're doing with the different components of air pollution.
Now, that's always important, you know, and I guess it's just been a recent phenomena that we've been looking at this for the past 10 or 20 years where people say, well, it's a red day, it's an orange day, don't go outside, do go outside, exhaust fumes, factory fumes. So how did we do in Idaho, and how did we do in Ada and Canyon counties?
Well, in Idaho, we had several counties that got an F for particle pollution. Ada and Canyon counties did a little bit better.
Hold on. That's never good to get an F on the...
It's not good.
No,
is not good. Actually, some of those were counties that you might be surprised by, like Shoshone, Lemhi County, Canyon County got a B, actually. Franklin County got an F. Some county, and those were for particle pollution. So it's important to keep in mind that there's two major components in what we think of as air pollution. There's ozone. Most people are familiar with that. That's the emissions from vehicles and other, pollutants that kind of get into the atmosphere and get sort of cooked and produce ozone. And then there's particle pollution or particulate matter, and those are what we are really sometimes even more concerned about because they're little teeny tiny particles, much, much smaller than the diameter of a human hair. And that's really bad because that can pass through all of your lungs' defense systems and even get all the way into your bloodstream. And those cause, we know that that's a direct cause of lung cancer, heart attack, certainly makes all kinds of lung disease worse. And so it's a real health threat, and that's one of the differences in the last 15 years. Our understanding of how bad air pollution is for us has increased.
Well, what about the idea of where this pollution comes from?
Well, that's a really good point because, we are concerned about where we live. I live in Ada County, so I always want to look at Ada County's grade, but I also know that the air and the wind don't know anything or respect about county lines. So some of the pollution it may be coming from far, far away. And that's why when it comes to the quality of our air, we all kind of need to think outside of our boundaries and really be looking at our state officials, but also our federal officials to protect the air we breathe.
Well, where would I'm looking at the wind. I mean, it's not like most of us think that it's, factories or something like that, but what other sources could there be? Could it be from the cars? We always hear about the controversy in Canyon County over emissions testing. Some of these counties, they don't have any industry to cause this.
They may not have industry. There can be a myriad of reasons why particulate matter or ozone are high in a particular area. So sometimes you can't necessarily point to that county. If Canyon County has high emissions, it's not necessarily all Canyon County's fault. There can be emissions coming in from Ada County or even from another state. One of the things that we have to contend with in Idaho are wildfires, and those certainly contribute to certainly spikes in particle pollution. And, everybody who lives here is aware in the last several summers, you look outside in August and you can see the smoke, and those are clearly very bad air days. There's also agricultural burning, and again, yes, vehicle emissions, and those can combine with certain atmospheric conditions, like when we have winter inversions, that's when our air quality can really suffer because, it's we sort of have a lid over the lower elevations, kind of letting all that ozone sort of cook, and even though it's cold, it's creating really bad air quality.
So how Canyon County has a B. What about Ada County?
Ada County has a B in ozone, which is not bad, but it has a D in particle pollution. So we didn't flunk, but we didn't do well. And that's something that we really want to watch. Also, though, what's really disturbing is that Ada County's particle pollution grade was worse in this report than in the previous report, the State of the Air report in 2013. And that kind of bucks the national trend, where we're seeing particle pollutants come down in general, even though they're not where we want them to be.
What can we do to avoid lung cancer?
Well, there are several things. First of all, I want to make it clear that nobody deserves lung cancer, despite what they may have done, whether they've smoked or not. First of all, though, the most important thing you can do is not smoke. And if you do smoke, to quit. And if you want to quit, please get in touch with the American Lung Association or with Project Filter. We've got some excellent programs and help for you. The other thing is to have your house tested for radon. That is the second leading known cause of cancer. The third is to protect yourself from air pollution. And sometimes that means not only being careful of, exercising outdoors on a bad day, a bad air day, but also becoming your own advocate, getting in touch with your elected officials and letting them know that you're concerned about what you're breathing.
And finally, how does the state of Idaho do, Jan, when we're compared to our other states within the Northwest when we're talking about air quality?
You know, we do better in some measures. We have some of the cleaner cities. Coeur d'Alene gets a great grade, and that some of those areas get a terrific grade. And in other areas, we do worse. It's a little difficult to say because we have many counties that do not have those monitors, the EPA monitors, and we base our grades only on counties that have monitors so that we make sure that we're giving out fair grades. So we are kind of in the middle in terms of the Northwest. But we have to remember that, again, air doesn't just stay inside state boundaries or county boundaries. It comes in from Nevada. It can come in from California. It can come in from Canada. So we need to really be concerned about, things like, it may not be a popular subject, but climate change really does make it more difficult to protect the air that we breathe. As those temperatures go up, we see, for instance, more wildfires, and we need to really be paying attention to that.
Well, we're all about the climate change. Anyway, Jan, we'd love to have you back, and if people want more tips on what they can do to prevent lung cancer for their kids, for themselves, to live a better, cleaner life, where can they go?
Well, they can go to lungidaho.org. That's our state Lung Association site. And I have a great resource for your listeners if they have any questions about lung health. We have a wonderful free lung helpline. That's 1-800-LUNG-USA or 1-800-586-4872 and choose option 2 on the phone tree. And that's a terrific resource.
Jan Flynn, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Great pleasure.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. Jan Flynn from the American Lung Association. Kevin Miller with you here, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I'm Federal Agent Jack Bauer, and today is the longest day of my...
We need Jack Bauer by the printing presses to get these crazy people to stop.
Chloe, step away from the computer. Now!
Sorry if I'm a little too Jack Bauer for you.
Don't you dare tell me about the law.
Don't worry, I'm sure President Obama will start focusing on the economy just as soon as I guess he's done pretending he's Jack Bauer.
Stop wasting my time! Give me an A!
Go back, Jack.
Good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580KIDO. Don't forget the 580 Kevin Miller hot list at 580KIDO.com. We go to Liberal Steven. It's funny, the other day somebody said, whatever happened to Steve? I never hear from him anymore. And I go, I don't know. He comes and he goes.
Oh, magic feeling for the Republican Party. That magic feeling, as the Beatles used to sing, is gone. Jump in the limousine and go... Come on, they've been repeating the same thing for 10 years. They've been after Benghazi. They've been after where's he been born. They've been after the health care. The thing is, they haven't done a thing. Same with the Republican Party of the state of Idaho. What have they done for the state in the last 10 years? Name one thing.
What has the president done to the country in the last 6 years? I can tell you that.
He has brought this country together, and America, the grown-ups out there know.
I thought this was a conversation. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It is a conversation, but when the Depression hit,
he's done a lot to the country. Take a look at the economy. Take a look at the jobs. Take a look at the high cost of fuel. Take a look at Iran. Take a look at Russia. Yeah, he's done a number on us.
Yeah. Grown-ups in America, Mr. Miller, grown-ups and educated Americans know,
like you,
that a major depression takes 10 to 12 years. So it hit in the fall of 08, crashed in the fall of 08. So it'll be 2018, no matter who's president, before the economy finally flips itself back into progression. So,
America, who needs an economist when we have you?
Exactly. Well, you can put it in a nutshell.
Nut is the proper term. Yes, nut.
That's right. Here's how things work as a man thinketh. As a man thinketh. What every man thinks throughout his life, that's what he shall accomplish. And the Republican Party thinks nothing but put the average American in his place. Put him to where he has to crawl.
You know what that is? So it's Kevin, time for you to go.
Hey, you stay fired up.
All right, quickly to traffic at 580 KIDO. Hello, Dave. And Kevin Miller with you here, 580 KIDO. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow, your chance to win some more money. Listen at 720. Coming up today, your chance to win $1,000 simply by listening to Dave Ramsey. When you hear the cue the call, call in. Win some cash. Appreciate you listening. Good day. God bless. And keep the faith. Serving Emmett.